And a very good Monday morning to you, or later in the week if you're hearing an encore of this show, because it's so good, we play it multiple times, as many times as I can get away with, as many times as the boss lets me. Well, actually, I'm one of the bosses, so I get a little bit of say there. We can't play it around the clock, but we try to play it a few times during the week for entertainment, education, and stimulation value. Giggling in the background is my brother in broadcasting, microphone mate, Dr. Ronald L. Feynman, where L stands for lots of political knowledge, opinions, and other fun stuff. And how are you today, Ron, on this?
I'm doing fine, and tonight is the first night of the DNC.
Yep, it's the beginning of the festivities. Let the fun, frolicking, and entertainment begin. Now, when we talked last week, we were figuring that the selection by Joe of his running mate would have been made sometime that day, but it, I believe, waited until Tuesday. So back Tuesday of last week, not really a surprise, Ron. The favorite choice, I mean, especially among me and you, was what we now know is pronounced Kamala. Kamala. Not Kamala or Kamala.
I'm saying it Kamala. Wrongly, but I don't get nasty like Tucker Carlson does.
Yeah, Kamala Harris. Yeah. And so Kamala Harris with that very nice mane of smellable hair. She kind of looks like, you remember those Brett girls in the 70s, right, Ron, from those commercials of girls with the pretty dark hair? And Kamala kind of reminds me of one of them. So I think that probably entered into the decision. But many other things coming into play. She is of multiple nationalities. There's been some argument about that. Again, I see it, as like any person who's multiracial, how she decides to describe herself is up to her, and that is an attractive quality, as we like people that are an embodiment of the multicultural nature of this country. We have too many OWGs, old white guys that have been in office, and she is a middle-aged, multiracial female who's somewhat easy on the eyes. So I think with her potential boss, Joe Biden, who is an OWG, I mean, there's no question that's what he is. Well, might be a good combination, but of course the social media and opponents and even supporters are having quite a ball right now, and as the DNC commences, it's only going to get juicier, because that's how we roll. So when you heard the announcement, Ron, about Kamala Harris being the VP, again, you weren't very surprised, and I know it was more, okay, well, that's likely the choice. I figured it was she or Gretchen Whitmer, but Kamala certainly is the better of the two choices, although I'm certainly
I thought Susan Rice had a real comp, and she was in the finals, but the one thing is she had never run for public office, so that, I think, was a disadvantage, yeah.
So Susan Rice,
I think she might be Secretary of State, though, in his administration. I can see that, because she was already the National Security Advisor, and UN Ambassador, so she might be Secretary of State, which is quite a prestigious position.
Sorry, I had to sip my coffee there for a bit. You know, it's the morning. I'm still trying to wake up, so don't mind the very large coffee cup to my right. But I have already gone to the boys' room, so that won't be a necessity during the show, because you know what coffee kind of does to you. It goes in one end and kind of out the other. But that's the fun of live radio. Now, if Susan Rice, Ron, gets a cabinet appointment, do you think Joe is going to confuse her with Condoleezza Rice? I already confused the two. I mean, they're different kind of names, but there are some things in common between
confuse.
The two. But you don't think he would confuse
them? But I do
them.
Think, you know, they've worked well. He's going to put it, I think, in the State Department. It makes the most sense. It really does.
So you would expect an appointment. Pete Buttigieg is going to be a prominent speaker, as will his husband, Chasten Buttigieg. Do you think that there is a cabinet place, possibly even for Chasten?
Yes, I would guess, if I had to guess now, housing and urban development, because he was mayor. Housing and urban development would be, I think, a good position.
He's kind of unemployed right now, so I'm thinking he needs some money to...
I don't think we have to worry about him, though.
Do you think Chasten might be a good education secretary? Is he too young, or what's... because he's a teacher.
Well, he's a teacher, but I don't know if he's prominent enough to put him in the cabinet. But I do think Buttigieg is, yes. And I also think Warren, if she wants it, could be in the cabinet also, Elizabeth Warren. And even Amy Klobuchar, if they want to be. The only thing is, if they were to be picked, then their seats would be open to contesting, and it could be a Republican gain. That's the only problem. So they may not want to be in the cabinet for that reason.
How about Warren as Director of Indian Affairs, since she's also known as Pocahontas? Would that be
that's the Interior Department. That's the subheading of the Interior Department. I don't think so.
Might be a little bit amusing, though. So,
but it's not going to happen. Not that.
No. We are speaking with Dr. Ron Feinman on a finer mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor, as Adam drinks his coffee, and Ron doesn't really drink anything stronger than water, maybe Perrier from time to time. So whatever he's sipping, hopefully.
I do have coffee in the morning, one cup, but that's it.
Yes, well, I've had several cups today, as I've had a very early start. That's kind of typical of me, but I'm still trying to wake up. I know we've talked, Ron, before that like twice a year you have a rum and coke or some other adult beverage.
Well, pina colada.
Yeah, but that's about the extent of your alcohol usage. So.
No, and I never got drunk and I never used pot.
Yep, unlike Kamala Harris. Now, let's talk about pot. She has pretty much made it clear that when she was younger, she wasn't exactly a pothead, but she certainly indulged from time to time.
What's the younger generation? She was born in your time, not my time.
Yeah, as I see, I don't care. See, that's, you know, there are issues, serious issues I have with her. I don't, honestly, Ron, I don't even care if she smokes pot in office. It's a stressful job. Like, I don't care if Barack Obama smoked, if he snuck around Michelle and went outside the White House and had a Marlboro. I don't even care. I don't even understand why that's even a big deal. President's a human. Presidents drink. Remember the famous beer summit with Obama. So I really don't care if Kamala Harris still smokes pot. It's not an issue with me. That's not anything that causes me to malign her. There are other things that we've talked about from time to time on the show. But do you think that among the non-pot supporters that will come back to haunt her? Has she been too public about her crazier younger days?
I don't care. I know most people have a very large number. One thing I think interesting is her husband's Jewish. We'll have a Jewish second gentleman if she's elected vice president. Douglas Emhoff, an entertainment attorney. And that's really fascinating. And he has two kids from his earlier marriage. They're both adults, and they're very attached to their mother, but also to their stepmother. And as she says, they call her Mamala, and that's the title she likes better than any other, Mamala.
Well, Mamala, well, that's a nice pun. You know I like puns, so that's kind of an enjoyable way to...
Yes.
Address?
She said it's better than being vice president to be Mamala. That's what she said this week.
So we would go from a second
very
lady.
Very charming and laughs easily. I like that. And the thing about her and about Joe, they have their faults. Everybody's got shortcomings. But two key things, compassion and empathy, they exude it. And not every politician does. And I think compassion and empathy are crucial, particularly now, but even at any time. And that's why I always liked Joe Biden, why I always liked Hubert Humphrey years ago, and why I like Kamala, because she is a lot like him in that regard.
Certainly, the second spouse would be very different from the current second spouse, her husband.
Oh, my God, yes.
Very different from Karen Pence. You know, someone, again, who looks
and
better.
And also a handsome guy happens to be. And yeah. She, as you know, I wouldn't call Mrs. Pence attractive.
Yeah,
but
well,
I think
one of those people who looks better with a mask, preferably a mask over her whole face. But, I have issues with her.
Actually looks pretty good. By the way, a little piece of trivia. Do you know they're born a week apart? October 13th, 64 is when he was born, and October 20th, 64, she was born. They're a week apart. She's younger than him by a week. Isn't that an amazing? And the same zodiac sign, obviously. Isn't that amazing?
Even more amazing is that I'm older than both of them. That's really amazing.
Yes, you are. A few months, yeah.
That would be the
but
first.
I was shocked to see they were a week apart, and they only met 6 years ago and got married. She never was married before. She was 50 when she got married. I feel 49 or 50. But I just think it's fascinating to have birthdays a week apart the same year. That's quite funny.
She's an interesting person. Now, Ron, there are skeletons in her closet. And again, these are things that don't really bother me, but they've come out of how she conducted herself as a prosecutor, as a DA. Is she...
And also as Attorney General. Interestingly, though, she was Attorney General of the biggest state, so as they've been pointing out, her job as Attorney General dealt with more people than any other position like that, except the U.S. Attorney General of the United States, who's appointed, not elected. So that's very interesting about her being the most significant Attorney General because of the number of people, 40 million in California, one out of every eight.
I think the cabinet appointments, now that we've picked the vice president, that was interesting, but I think now the cabinet appointments become interesting. Now, you believe that that Biden will win. I think you'd agree it's not going to be a landslide, and he shouldn't go ahead and start packing for Pennsylvania Avenue yet.
No, of course.
I don't know for sure.
Right, on my blog soon, who I think should be in the cabinet. I'm working on it.
I think that there are some skeletons in both of their closets, as well as the mental state of Biden, which will haunt them. Doesn't necessarily mean they're going to lose, but if I were to bet
there's
on
it. He's got mental issues, too, so they both do. They're both old, let's face it. And that's why I think of this as an election where we're electing, for the long run, either Mike Pence or Kamala Harris. And to me, there's no choice there. It's obvious.
If Mike Pence were to become president, and I think what will happen is some way Trump will win, then he will not finish out the term through one of many means. We would certainly go from the best-looking first lady to the worst. Well, one of the best-looking. Jackie Kennedy was very pretty. So certainly, arguably the best or one of the best-looking first ladies to arguably one of the worst-looking first ladies. But I guess that's part of the fun of politics, just like a big difference between Obama and Trump.
Jill Biden as first lady. Isn't that wonderful?
Jill Biden, certainly intelligent, PhD. I know what I wanted
and
to ask you.
And she's still going to teach, she said. She still plans to teach a course at the community college.
I guess that's I don't want to digress too much. I want to ask you that question, because being a professor, because you and she are very similar in your career choices and that kind of stuff. But I think, again, if Mike Pence becomes president by some means where Trump no longer is president, that's what I think will happen a couple years into the next administration. But I mean, who knows? Every day I'm likely to change my mind. We would certainly
go from... And it might happen with Biden also. He may not last the term, so we'll have Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
I think it's a very good chance that's going to happen. Either one of the other, Pence or Harris, is going to be president, the 47th president. I do honestly think so.
But if we were to go from Trump to Pence again, an attractive, you know, kind of enigmatic, but you know, I think she's a likable first lady to Karen Pence, and you know, you don't vote for the spouse. I kind of look at and we talked about this before. Al Gore, I can't stand Tipper Gore. I really don't like Al Gore, although there's a few things about him. He is an environmentalist, but he talks a lot and he's full of you know what half the time. But I can't stand Tipper, and I think we agree, Ron. You're not, maybe you don't dislike her as much as I do, but I don't think you're a fan. And we both agree we don't like Karen Pence. So that's a case for
that. I agree, yes.
You don't vote for the spouse. And the case of Clinton, you know, Hillary Clinton, a divisive figure. And I don't know if she helped or hurt her husband's presidency, but he won twice. So I guess she did. Both
imagine having Jill and Doug, you know, as the married mates of the president and vice president. Nice combination, Dr. Jill Biden and Douglas Emhoff.
And I think you'd agree also, both Mrs. Bushes, we both like them. I think they helped their husband's presidency. I don't think Barbara didn't help too much because George, number one, didn't win re-election, but I can't really blame it on Barbara. She was very likable.
Oh, of course.
And politically very, very moderate, if not a bit to the left. So I think she was in agreement with a lot of my beliefs and yours. And Laura Bush also, very likable.
First ladies, all of them, from Nancy Reagan on, even Nancy Reagan, was supporting the ERA and supporting abortion rights. Didn't say it at the time, but we learned later. So every one of them until Mrs. Pence was not the president's wife. And I don't know what Melania thinks. I don't think she thinks much, period. But all of them were on the left. It's more than their husbands,
Saying. Intriguing, and that's kind of why I brought up Michelle Obama. As you know, I'm not the president of her fan club, but my opinion of her has increased, as I didn't really dislike her. I wasn't overly thrilled with her, but I've decided I do kind of like her. I like her emphasis on fitness, and she says what's on her mind, and it's kind of hard to judge her politics, but I see her as being a bit different from Barack, moving more toward the middle, as we're seeing the Republican first ladies standing by their husbands, but being more centrist. I see Michelle as being a bit centrist. But whether she wants to run for office, who knows? I think she's just enjoying.
I think she does. She could have been vice president now if she wanted to be. And I think she realized, and we all do, that the vice president would become president possibly. So she was ambitious. She would have said yes to that.
But here's my question. And two questions, which probably will fill up the rest of the 30 minutes, but that's okay. As we've talked about, Ron, we both like Jill Biden. We both respect that. When she was second lady, she was still professoring, or whatever the word is. Now, my understanding is the second lady or first lady allowed to work? Isn't there high security? Did Did the Secret Service follow her into her classes? And if she's First Lady and still teaches, is that even possible that you can do that under all the security, which seems to get more and more every day? Is that even feasible?
I think she'd have to have Secret Service agent probably in the room, I would guess, and some outside. I'm sure they would have to do that. But, you know, I think most people, students, wouldn't be intimidated by it because they say, my gosh, the First Lady is my teacher. I think it'd be a professor. I think it'd be exciting to be a student in her class, you know?
Has there ever been a working, even among Second Ladies? I mean, Second Ladies and First Ladies have their causes. Michelle Obama Fitness.
Actually,
Bush's adult literacy.
Karen Pence does work at a Christian school that doesn't allow anybody gay or lesbian to be it. So she does work. You know, I don't know if she gets paid, but she goes there, so she must have Secret Service with her.
Yeah, I don't think, though, she's not really quite as active as Jill was, though, when she was Second Lady. I mean, it was just well known that she didn't stop her job. She wanted to keep working. And with Karen, it's almost...
Yeah, but it was also only at one class and not in the summer, so it wasn't like she was always busy. Yeah. It was probably just 1 or 2 days a week, you know, for 15 weeks times 30 weeks, not like constantly busy, you know. It's not that kind of a job, part-time. I'm sure she doesn't do more than one class, you know.
Yeah, kind of wonder about Karen. It almost seems like it's a publicity stunt, plus the school that she's teaching at is a bit closed-minded, to say the least, so...
I don't know why it's a publicity stunt. I think it makes it look worse. It'd be better if she wasn't doing it.
Well, many times when you do something like that, Ron, it backfires. You try a publicity and ends up biting you know where, and that maybe is what's happening.
Yeah.
Who knows? So, Karen Pence, again, a bit of a divisive figure, and I think she is detrimental to the campaign. She's just not a likable person, even if you like her politics, you know, and she's not very attractive. She's very unattractive. She's not well-spoken.
She also doesn't like Donald Trump. Yeah. She was disgusted. When her husband became vice president, I read that she was not happy about it. You know, so
yeah, she's just not.
I think she tolerates him, but she doesn't like Trump. A lot of people don't like Trump, but they just keep quiet.
And unlike some other first ladies, and Tipper Gore being an example, just not a likable person, not good looking. I mean, nothing really that would attract you. I think that Clinton was such a strong president. You could kind of overlook Tipper. That's kind of what I did. It's like, oh, I'm not voting for Tipper. I don't like her. I don't like Al Gore, but I like Bill Clinton. And so I decided that, and I like Hillary. And that's why I talked about this last week.
If you finish reading my book and we talk about it, there were quite a few threats against Clinton where it could have led, didn't happen, could have led to his being, you know, killed, and we would have had Al Gore in the White House.
Hillary seemed like the vice president, but maybe that was wishful thinking. I kind of wish she was vice president instead of Al Gore, although she certainly helped with the administration. So you're saying, you know, Karen Pence does work, you know, I mean, who knows quite how much, but she, you know...
She does teach, that's what I know. You know?
But we've never had
an
actual first lady, though, who has really had a regular full-time day job while in office. Would that be the first time if Jill Biden were to be first lady and still go to work in a college?
It's not full-time. I'm trying to look back and think. I don't know all the way back, but I doubt further back that first ladies did work. I don't think there's ever been a first lady who went to work while first lady, but again, it would only be really part-time. It would not be like tied down 5 days a week for 9 months. Not like that. It's not that way if she's teaching a class in college.
Do you think that people would be rushing to take her course knowing that the first lady was their professor? Would she be charging for autographs?
I mean, maybe they don't appreciate it, but you know, they don't like Biden, but I think it would be exciting to be first lady's class, and even have the Secret Service. It makes you very protected, because don't forget, guns on campus, you know, we have people kill people on college campuses. It would certainly make things more protected for those people who are dealing with our class.
I guess, and one slightly comical question before we get to the other one, and discuss your blogs, of course. You know, Ron, you probably have had students come to your home for office hours if they need help at a certain time. You know what I'm going to ask. So if Dr. Jill Biden wants to have office hours at her house, how would that work? Could you still come to the White House and just knock on the door and say, hi, is Professor Biden here? I've come to ask her about this assignment. Or how would that work?
The vice president lives in a separate place than the White House. That's what you're saying, the president. I see what you're saying. No, I think the office hours would be at the community college. I'm sure that's what happens, you know, at the university where you work. You don't have the office hours of the White House, no.
So she wouldn't have the luxury, but you've had students come to your house, though, for help. I mean, especially ones that are ongoing and that you're friendly with. So
just Just a few, you know, over the years become friends. That's true.
But yeah,
that's
yeah, and I know when I was in college, some professors just come to their house in the evening. It's just easier. But I guess in this case, when coming to the White House.
You lived away. That was the difference. I always had commuter students. So except for people over the time where, you know, we were friends, I never had a student who was taking me come to my house at the time they were taking me. No.
Right.
But I guess if you're living away like you were, it's possible that they were right nearby and it was different, you know, because they lived nearby.
Yeah, so I guess that wouldn't be happening. You wouldn't go to the White House, and you know, and then you know, Joe might answer in his bathrobe, and you say, "Oh, hi, is Professor Biden here?" I don't know how that would work.
Sorry, I want to mention that I don't know if I ever told you that when my book came out, I sent a copy to Vice President Biden, and it took 2 months to go through all the channels to get to him because, you know, security. This was 2015, and I never heard from him, and I'm not all that disappointed, but I was hoping I would get a note. So I would assume he has my book somewhere, but of course he was very busy then, and, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, just the whole idea. And I've had some people suggest jokingly that I should be possibly a speechwriter for President Biden. So if I was, if I had a chance, I'd have to say, did you ever get my book? I ever look at it?
Okay, now, we mentioned about cabinet appointments, and, you know, let's presume that Joe Biden wins. Do you have any predictions as to who some of the cabinet appointments might be? I mean, the big ones, the Secretary of the Treasury, Defense, Interior, Education, you know, any ideas who those people might be?
Okay, well, I don't know what he'll do, but I want to point out every president, and particularly Democrats, picks one Republican of prominence, or some prominence, to be in his cabinet. And I have a feeling that John Kasich might be that Republican who would be picked for the cabinet. And I think some people would be unhappy, but honestly, I think it's a good thing to do.
I mean, he's going to speak at the DNC. It's pretty obvious, yeah. Kasich, something with the economy, right? Because he's a very good economist.
But you know what's interesting? Looking at an article on the New York magazine Intelligencer, and they talk about speakers on Monday, and they don't list him. But I read last week he was going to do it.
Yeah, that's what I saw. My understanding is he's speaking, and so are Chastain and Pete Buttigieg.
In this article, I think that means he's not. But supposedly he is going to speak, yes. And I think he should be given a cabinet position. And I think usually that would be probably defense, probably would be the most likely. Or I think defense would be the right one for that, I really think. Usually we've had a number of Republicans appointed Secretary of Defense by Democratic presidents. So it makes sense, I think.
So you don't see James Mad Dog Mattis is coming back because he's a pretty good defense secretary with a lot on his resume.
I don't know if he'd want to come back. I don't think he had a good experience where maybe because he's a different person, but I would doubt it. But I could see Kasich, or I could see John Huntsman possibly being in the cabinet because he was ambassador to China under Obama and ambassador to Singapore under the first Bush. And he's very smart, very bright. So I think, and they're the two best people ever ran, in my mind, for the Republican side in 12 and 16, 12 Huntsman and 16 Kasich. And I think one of them I would think would be in the cabinet. I think Kasich more likely.
We would certainly expect a lot of women and black people and hopefully some Asian people in the cabinet. It wouldn't be quite the same as some of the cabinets from a generation ago, something which would, again, reflect the diversity.
It would be a very diverse cabinet, yes, I agree.
Do you see Barack or Michelle Obama, even the girls, now they're in their 20s now, do you see a position for any of those four?
No, they wouldn't be. But I can see, honestly, either Barack or Michelle, maybe more Barack being picked for the Supreme Court, like William Howard Taft was, if he wants it. I don't know. But I mean, he's the right age. The kids are out of the house. He's 60 years old. He could be, or she is, like a little younger. They could be on the court for 25 years. And I think it would really be a great thing and replace Ruth Bader Ginsburg, because I think clearly Ruth will leave next year, certainly if Biden's in the White House. I just wanted to lift to January, though, and it's very touch and go, but apparently she's doing all right. But I think it's possible Obama or his wife, maybe more likely him, would be picked for the court. I don't think the girls are old enough to even think about that. No, they're still too young.
So one of the most interesting things if he becomes
president
is the cabinet. How about Chelsea Clinton? She has a PhD now. I think she's in her 40s. Is there a place for her?
She's past 40 now. I don't know. I think she's 40. I don't really see her. I honestly haven't thought about it. I don't really see her being in the cabinet. And not Amy Carter either.
I always liked Amy
Carter.
She's
probably about 55. I don't think she's going to be in the cabinet.
Yeah, I liked Amy. I liked her. She had those big 70s glasses. I always liked her glasses. So
well, that's then. She looks very different now.
Yeah, well, that's, and you know, Chelsea Clinton, not the best looking person out there, but very intelligent and like her parents.
Now that she did, though, both of them look much better than they did when they were younger.
Yeah, so
they matured, both Amy Carter and Chelsea Clinton.
But you would agree, someone like Chelsea Clinton or Michelle Obama is kind of a dark horse, because you might find them having some position you just don't really know, and that's one of the most interesting things.
But not the top position.
Who are the cabinet appointments?
Three or four.
That would be an exciting thing if Joe Biden.
There's going to be some exciting appointments, and again, if Warren, it's a problem that Massachusetts has a Republican governor who's anti-Trump. But he is a Republican, so he can replace Warren, which is a problem. But I could see Warren being in the cabinet either as Secretary of the Treasury or Attorney General. In theory, I think. You know.
So we have Dr. Ron Fineman here on a fine-er mid-morning coffee break with Adam and the professor here on the Talking Place, WWGH Radio. Ron publishes the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Now, normally, Ron, this show...
12 years now, and I'm also on History News Network under my name, under the blog, Ronald L. Fineman.
Normally, this show is a no-mask and no-coronavirus zone, as we try to talk, I mean, not necessarily positive news, as unfortunately, a lot of the news is not positive. So we just try to talk about the events of the day and talk about them.
If it was positive, nobody would pay attention.
And brainstorm a bit. Now, on Friday of last week... You write, national face mask mandate urgently needed as COVID-19 spreads and with flu season on the horizon. So, no secret, both Joe Biden and Kamala Harris have made it clear they're in favor of a national mask mandate. In my opinion, that one stand is going to cost them the election. It's probably going to cost them my vote. I am undecided at this point. Let you folks know, I don't know which candidate. I'm repulsed by both of them. But you got to make a decision, a vote for a write-in or alternative candidate or staying home. You would agree, Ron, that's a vote for Trump. So pick one. If you have to hold your nose, well, that's how it's going to have to be. Now,
well, I want to just point out that there's no question, I think, that if he had pushed it, maybe not mandate, but if he had pushed from the beginning our president about having masks consistently, there would have been fewer deaths. I don't think there's any question about it. So the whole idea is to cut the number of deaths down. It's so many, and it's going to multiply.
Among my many issues with the mask, Ron, and as you know, I have an extensive science background, and it's in particle science and other things, and statistics also. I mean, things that do make me a bit of an expert. I don't claim to be the nation's leading expert or anything close to that, but I certainly know a few things. And I've made observations, and you've made this too, Ron, is people don't wear the masks properly. They don't wear it over their nose. They wear a mask that is so flimsy, or it's been worn multiple times, that if at most it has no protection, and at worst, it has less than effective protection. That is, it's worse than nothing at all, and that's my observation. Plus, even if...
Did you notice that we have people that are so violent that they punch people out when they're told by the owner of a...
Right, well, that's inexcusable, and that's not something that I do. But, you know, I was joking about it a few days ago. I am a Karen, and if you want to call me a Karen or Kevin or whatever that name they're using for people that are a bit rebellious about this, that doesn't offend me, because you know what? I am, and I'm proud of it. And I am mentally compiling a list of places where I can go maskless, or even where I can just get away with not putting it over my nose. In that case, it's worse than nothing at all. But I believe that I personally acquired herd immunity a long time ago. And I think if people would stay healthy, they'd eat better, they'd control conditions like high blood pressure, we would have much less illness and other tragic circumstances from this, and I don't think I'm being selfish.
In your favor, is you live without other people around you nearby, but all those people live in crowded apartments or homes with lots of kids or lots of people in the same area. That's where it becomes a problem. But it's true, where you are, or even me with just my son, we do have an edge in that regard. That's true.
And people talk about selfishness. I'm not being selfish, Ron. It's the people that think, well, you need to wear a mask and you need to follow this because I don't feel safe around you. They're the ones who are being selfish. To me, that's a total no-brainer. Now, I know we don't agree on this. I think we agree on some things. I think you would agree that mask has limited effectiveness. But again, even if it's 10%, that's better than nothing, although it's probably an exaggeration considering my observations of how the masks are worn. But we could tell people just wear a hazmat suit, cover your whole body in armor. Well, then you probably wouldn't get in contact. Why don't we just do that? I mean,
somebody suggested wear goggles for your eyes, yeah. And I said, "Oh, that's going too far. You can't have
it can the eyes are a mucous membrane, and I think things can spread that way. And where are we going to stop? Where is the control going to stop?
It looks like they're from outer space.
So basically, if people think that my body is toxic, well, you know, stay the heck away from me. And in terms of, I have no other way to say it. I don't make a name for this social distancing. I've been doing that because I know that if you are close to people, especially people of questionable background, well, then you are not necessarily likely, but more of a chance you would catch something from them, despite how wonderful you think your health might be. So instead of putting a name on it, I do that anyway. And I know that going to a baseball stadium or concert or school is a good way to catch something. And that hasn't changed. And why is it any different now than it was?
You open up schools, although it's bad to not open up the schools. It's both ways, you know.
I mean, schools have closed because of lice. And certainly things like meningitis. My college canceled a concert because of meningitis.
Wow.
That's happened in many educational settings. And even...
how are we going to live without college football, though, including Ohio State? Or are they going to be playing, by the way?
There's no Big Ten football, and that's causing a big issue in this part of the country.
And that's going to affect all these college towns. Columbus, at least, is the capital. But all the college towns like Gainesville, Florida, they're afraid of the people coming. But if they don't come, their businesses, they have no business.
Well, most
businesses.
So what do you do? You got to balance it out. And I don't really see this as being much different than previous times, because there's always going to be the flu. They haven't been able to cure the common cold, and the common cold is a form of coronavirus. I'm not saying that it's not less serious than the current coronavirus, but it's a similar kind of a strain. And so what do we do? Again, to me, I think the masks are Marxist. I make no secret about that. In Michigan, $500 fine for not wearing one. And thankfully,
why don't you go with fascist instead? The word Marxist doesn't fit.
I kind of go back and forth. To me, I guess Marxist, and I don't claim to be the expert on this, but whatever the word is for a dictatorship and an extreme infringement on your rights, my thought was Marxist.
Well, that's fascist.
Right. But there are.
Actually, Marx never was. His ideas never were followed in Russia or China or Cuba. They claimed they followed it, but they didn't. So actually, it's a word should be fascist.
I guess what's ironic, Marxist to me, it just means communism or extremely left, whereas fascist means extremely
Marx
right.
Marx would have been shocked at what communism turned out to be.
Yeah, so, I mean, whatever the word is, and I don't claim an expert on that, in that kind of nomenclature, because even among experts like you, Ron, it's a bit in question. Whatever the word is for dictatorship and gross infringement upon our rights and our life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness, whatever that is, that's what this is. And I make no secret about that, and I'm disgusted by the whole thing. And I said, I think you understand some of the scientific aspect of it, but just reading some of the things you've said, you said it's estimated that at least 40,000 future deaths between now and Election Day could be saved if only what Biden and Harris call for was done by Donald Trump. I don't agree with that at all. In fact, I think in most cases, it's worse than nothing at all. And people will be resentful. And this is also big. I think you would agree with this, Ron. If people have to wear masks, they're not going to be going out as much because they don't like it. I mean, who goes to a bar and wears a mask? You go to a bar to people watch. Who goes to a restaurant? You take the mask off. You put it back on. You go to the mall. You got
to
wear one, especially when it's hot. They're much more uncomfortable in the heat and humidity that you and I have this time of the year. People aren't going out as much, and when you do go to the mall, you are more at risk, be it the common cold or be it the flu or whatever the condition is, if it's something which is contagious. So that's a lot of it. People just don't go out as much because of the mask requirement. So there are many things that come into play. So yeah, I make it no secret.
Economy, of course.
I am vehemently anti-mask. And there are ways, I think, I don't think you would agree, Ron, that Biden and Harris could have indicated their mask mandate that wouldn't aggravate a lot of people. And
to make it a mandate. Maybe they should have said we urge you, without the word mandate.
The urging is fine. They can urge what they want. You know, we're Americans. You know, I urge people don't smoke. But if you want to smoke, that's fine. In fact, smoking is good for the economy. They have tobacco farms in Ohio and in this part of the country. It's taxed.
Always drinking, getting drunk. Yeah. It's good for the boys.
As long as you don't drink and drive, yeah, that's fine. But you're American. Do what you want. I look around and I see a lot of out-of-shape people, and I see a very serious drug problem, which has been exacerbated by this all the stay-at-home orders, bars closing too early. Yeah. You would agree with that, Ron. In this case...
And also more child abuse and wife abuse by husbands and things like that, yeah.
Even if I agree...
Too much time together with the people that's usually not, not with all the time, yes.
Even if I agreed with the COVID stuff, the mandates, you would agree, Ron, that the... You would question, is the cure, you know, worse than the problem? And it definitely is on my end, but I think even you would agree, or definitely would agree, because we've talked about this, that these cures cause a lot of other problems. Yeah,
no
domestic
easy solution. That's what it comes down to. You're right.
And I think we need to spend less time trying to scare people, more time understanding, well, if you are a high-risk group, yes, you should stay at home, just like if the air quality is bad and you have asthma or you're elderly, et cetera. Try to limit your outdoor activities, like the National Weather Service and all your weather people will say. And if you are a risk group, again, diabetic, overweight, high blood pressure, older, etc., and there is a rather nasty flu going around, which is what COVID is as I see it, well, you probably should stay home or limit your activity. Or if you want to wear a mask, do it. But honestly, if you want full protection, wear a hazmat suit. Go ahead and wear more. I agree with the goggles because it can be transmitted through the eyes. You have a mucous membrane there. And if you wear a mask, wear it properly and wear a face shield over that. But to me, I know my body, and I don't usually catch that stuff.
I wear glasses, but I guess glasses wouldn't help, would they?
Yeah. Well, better than nothing, but goggles wrap around the body, just like a mask, you know, versus, you know, just putting your hand 4 inches from your mouth.
Maybe just get dressed for Halloween all year round, is what we're saying, right?
But there are certain types of protective equipment that will actually work. You may have seen that meme, Ron, where they show what miners wear, what people that are exposed to dangerous chemicals wear, the kind of fancy respirators. And then it says, then they show this flimsy this flimsy mask, you know, most deadly virus ever, and they show that. That is a bit extreme, because I wouldn't call this the most deadly virus ever. In fact, it's nothing close to that. But the basic scope of that comparison is correct. And this false sense of security, which I believe also contributes greatly to what the infection and people's mindset. But yeah, we present deaths because people wouldn't be going out. I'm not going to the mall. I'm only going out to places like Walmart when I have to. And I do have a kind of a list of stores I can go to where they either don't enforce the mask. They do have to put the sign out, but they don't have to enforce it. Well, they don't enforce it, or if they do, they're not really going to bother me. There are businesses where, in fact, the official standpoint is don't question anybody who's not wearing one. So, hate me for that, Ron. I don't care. That's how I feel. You know how that's how I feel. And
I
know
one thing is, I heard of this case wherever it was, where somebody was told he had to wear a mask. He walked out, you know, he didn't wear it, and he left in a huff. And he came back with bottles, with whole groups of bottles of water, and he broke all the windows of the store.
Right. Well, that's not something that I would do, and that's a criminal.
See,
who should be locked
crazy.
Up. Right. You know, I am a nonviolent Karen, and I have told a couple businesses I have a medical, religious, and intellectual objection, which I do. I have an intellectual objection. I just gave it to you. Religious objection I have in that I think a face covering or a head covering is something that many religions, I can think of one in particular that I don't agree with, force you to do, and I don't think we should be doing that in American society. Medical objection, I have mask anxiety. I'm jittery. I don't like something covering my face. Yes, I can live with it for 5 minutes. I understand that. That's why I'll comply when I go to somewhere like Walmart. But if I can get away with it, I will, and I make no apology for that. And you can see I'm still here living and breathing. I do know my own body. But I like to stay in shape. You know, I go to the gym where I think I acquire herd immunity, or I just don't really worry about it. I just go about my business, and we'll see what happens. You know, every day is a gift, especially in my case where I've lost both parents. Every day I get upset about that.
Well, I also lost both parents. That's long ago now. And, of course, I now am of an age where I have a CPAP machine. Thank goodness. It really helps, you know.
Not just upset by the fact that I don't have any parents or grandparents living, but the circumstances of my dad's death, very sad. So every day I wake up as a gift, and I'm going to go ahead and live my life and do it in the best way possible. And anybody who thinks I'm selfish is completely wrong. Let's say it that way. There's no selfishness at all. It's the people who want to control you and say, well, I don't feel safe around you. They're the ones who are selfish. But again, you know, if you don't feel safe around me, well, that's fine. It's a big world. Don't go near me. Or if you want to talk to me, text me, call me, or use Morse code or whatever you want to do. So that's my best way of saying it, Ron. You know, we can agree to disagree. That's what intelligent people do. I've certainly had a few people that have unfriended me, maybe even blocked me because they didn't agree with my political philosophies. But I've had people who are very more extreme than those people who say, okay, well, that's how you are. Even you, Ron, have laughed a bit at my educational background. I'll excuse you for that. I'm not pleased at it, but it'll happen.
Skeptical of it.
Yeah. But I think you would agree, I'm not exactly stupid, far from it. And I do have some reason for what I say, and I think even if we don't agree with what I've said the last 5 minutes or so, you can see where I'm coming from. And you can also see that I'm sitting here alive and well. You know how many times I've been to the gym. You know how many times I've been to buffets. Or been to stores where I've gotten away maskless. As well as maskless before they had requirements. I mean, they had requirements. They didn't have mask requirements until about a month and a half ago. And that's where I did go to stores and places where didn't have to wear one, but now they've changed that. So bottom line is I'm still here living and breathing.
I want to point out, you know, you will recall that the other day, I mentioned that you would be someone who could be on the national level as a radio show, and I meant it.
Well, that's very kind of you. I don't think I'm that good, but thank you so much.
I think you are.
Let folks know I will be on with one of your least favorite people or favorite people, Mike Essen, a conservative columnist and talk show host based out of Florida. I believe it's next Monday, if I'm not mistaken. I'll be taking phone calls. It'll be on Blog Talk Radio, but I may replay part of it on this station. So let folks know. Follow my Facebook. Follow Adam Lepp, Adam the Computer Guy. Follow WWGH, and I will post about that radio appearance. It'll be good. You know, Mike, as an independent, I agree with Mike on some things. I disagree with him on others, but we do shake hands and we laugh and we have a good time. And that's what talk radio is all about. And that's the way it should be. Intelligent people can agree to disagree and they can laugh and they can learn from each other. And that's so important. About a minute left of the show, Ron, anything you want to share with our listeners before we say goodbye?
Well, my comment on Saturday, August 15th about the QAnon conspiracy theory is starting to take over with this victory in a congressional seat of Marjorie Taylor Greene, who's a real dangerous person, it seems to me. I guess we could talk about it more next week.
Yeah,
but
yeah, we'll do that.
It's becoming a new controversy in the Republican Party. You know?
And we keep forgetting to wish Barack H. Obama a happy 59th birthday because it happened recently. So 1 year.
August 4th, yes. Yeah.
1 year before the big 6-0 for President Barack H. Obama, 59.
I can't even believe he's 59. It seems so, so long. He ran when he was 47, but his years fly by. It's amazing.
Yep, sure does. Okay, Ron, well, thank you again for being with us on a fine-er mid-morning coffee break. We even broke our rule about no mask discussion. We even did it in a civil way. How about them apples?
Yes.
Never quite know. Again, when intelligent people get together, they manage to put their differences aside or laugh about them or decide maybe they really aren't as different as they think they are. That's probably how we are. We invite people to read, bookmark, or if you don't like, throw a rotten egg at Ron's blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. I invite people to listen to me on the Mike Essen Show next week, which I'll have more details about. And we'll have Ron back on with us soon. And I also believe Ron will be on with the interviewer to the stars, Scott Spears, sometime in the very near future. So if you like what you hear today, you ain't seen nothing yet, boys and girls. Thanks again for listening to a fine-er mid-morning coffee break on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio.